Welcome into the debut episode of the Finnerach podcast. I am Patrick Shancor. To my right is Andrew Zuko.
What's going on, everybody?
And in this debut episode, we're going to kind of give you guys a brief introduction of who we are, how our friendship started, why we started this podcast, and then we're going to answer some questions that we had posted on our Instagram for the last couple of weeks. We have a lot of great questions, a lot of funny stories, and it's probably going to be really awkward because none of you really know who we are.
You're not wrong.
So just like a brief background of who I am. Grew up in the North Shore in Massachusetts, went to Southern New Hampshire University for 4 years, got a degree in communications, and am currently looking to get a new job in the social media world, which I've been doing for the last 5 years, and I'm very lazy and haven't done it yet.
So like you were looking for a job for the past 5 years, or you've been doing that job for the past 5 years?
Both.
Deuce jar! There's our first fucking donation. All right. I'm Andrew Zuko. I was homeschooled first through eighth grade, so we'll touch on that, I'm sure, future. Went to St. John's Prep, went to Merrimack and ran track for like a semester before I walked out of business class.
Went to Valencia for a semester.
I've been to three different schools, like four different semesters, I want to say. Didn't finish any of them. College is a scam. Yeah, so now I program slot machines at a casino, and I do real estate and invest in some other stuff, which we'll touch on at some point.
And basically, the reason that we're doing this podcast is because if you know us in any capacity, you know that we are just very weird and funny, and we argue a lot. Really, the basis of it is we get into arguments pretty much every day, and we're both very stubborn and feel like we're right and the other person's wrong and has no other points that can even remotely be true. So this is just our way of getting it on to.
We literally, the idea for this came because like we'll fight like very regularly over the most like innocuous arbitrary things. And we're always like, well, we should record this so I can say, no, you said this or you said that.
And now we're recording
it. And honestly, like I think we just like hearing ourselves talk, but people are entertained by our crazy stories as well. Like crazy fucking story.
And one more thing is that we're gonna be dropping a lot of inside jokes that you're not gonna understand right now, but throughout each episode we'll kind of sprinkle in some details on what these inside jokes mean. And hopefully our goal is that when you start to listen more and more, you start to catch on to our dialogue and our lingo, and you might drop a
Yeah, that's a great example there. That's $2 for the deuce jar. But no, like our vernacular, like it's something like Patrick and I talk about all the time is like, we just have so many dumb inside jokes that have kind of spread to like ex-girlfriends, like other friend groups, like people at work. And now it's like, we just have this whole like vocabulary of dumb shit.
Should we tell them?
Not yet.
Not gonna tell them the name of the podcast, what it means?
No, I think we gotta like... We got to tease it out a little bit.
All right. So obviously no one really knows what the Finnerach podcast means.
What the fuck does that even mean?
So it's been an inside joke that we've had pretty much our entire friendship. And
since like what? 2013,
14.
2013?
Yeah, back then.
No, it had to have been 2014 because, well, I can't reveal too much. It had to have been 2014 because of what was happening at the time.
So once we hit, I'll say, a million downloads.
That's ambitious.
How about 10,000?
No one's waiting that fucking
long. How
about
10,000?
How about 3?
10,000 downloads.
So when Chuck and his two fake accounts give us 5-star reviews.
When Chuck and Lisa download the
Chucky
podcast,
Diesel.
We'll give you guys the name of the podcast and what it means. So let's just jump into the questions, I guess. We kind of broke them down into different categories.
Right.
We have some career questions about our friendship and how it started, and then all the questions that we got were about dating
pretty
relationships
much,
and our failed relationships, I should say, because no one ever wants us.
We're gonna
edit that want
out.
Us, just
no,
not for too
no,
long.
No, let's. Yeah, okay. Where are we at? What time was that? What is the timestamp? That I don't like.
4:25.
4:25. Cut that shit out.
All right. So, what's the first question?
What were we starting? What category? Career, friendship,
career.
Okay. Well, we have a few. The first one that I got. Was from actually like a classmate of mine at the prep, and he asked...
Nice or anonymous.
I didn't say what his name was. I didn't say his name was Kelvin. I just said he was a classmate. I mean, he's not going to be embarrassed about asking about my career. Yeah, he asked how I got involved in real estate. And I mean, long story short, it's not going to be short. I read a lot of books, starting with like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And in that book, Robert Kiyosaki talks about how his rich dad, who's not really his biological father, he was like an investor friend that he met. He's like, you know, how'd you make your money? Whatever. And his like regular dad kind of had like a traditional view of career and finances. You know, you work for a big company, you work there for 40 years, you get a gold watch and you retire. That's not really the, it's not really realistic now, is like, I think both of us have seen in our careers and probably a lot of you guys have seen. And so I kind of got like passive income through real estate in my head. Like, I want to say I was like 18 or 19 when I read that book. And, you know, I've had a lot of ups and downs like in my early 20s. But when I was like 24, I bought my first property, which we're recording in right now, in a vacant second floor apartment.
Not for long since you sold it.
I did just sell it. Thanks for spoiling the ending of that story. But yeah, so that was my first investment. I really think that like house hacking, which we can do a whole episode on. Yeah. House hacking is a huge, huge, huge momentum tool that you can use to kind of jumpstart your not career, but like your investing and your financial progress towards financial freedom. But yeah, I bought a multifamily house and rented it out for now 2 years, and I was gonna keep it, you know, forever. But the market was fucking, it was hotter than Natalie Portman in Attack of the Clones, so I decided to capitalize on that. That was a terrible example, but
it really was.
Well, no, it was a great example, but no one really gives a shit about Star Wars. It's really because, I mean, she, that's like, for, you know, if you want to get my attention, which was a dating question, wear that shit. I started with that, and now I am going to take the proceeds from this house to reinvest it, not have to pay taxes on it, and buy a few more properties with those profits. So that's kind of how I got involved in real estate. But
And I just want to say, like, when you were talking about the whole going to a company 40 years, get a gold watch. So what I've been talking to Zuko about with my own job, which I work in a school system, and it was really just a job I took when I got out of college because A, I needed a job, and B, there's so much time off and I wanted to travel and have free time, which has been great. But I was looking at my retirement account and I'm planning on leaving the school system. So it's like, I'm going to get that money. It's either I withdraw it, take the cash, pay like 60% in taxes.
I think it's 60. No. So
it's different for the MTRS.
Okay.
Or you can avoid the tax penalties by taking that money and using it as a down payment on a mortgage or
house
or a house. Yeah. Whatever.
That's not the douche jar. That was a legitimate correction.
I meant to edit it out, but we'll keep it.
No.
So I was telling Zuko that what I wanted to do is when this current school year ends, I want to take that money that I was going to use for my retirement and put that into a house and start to get that passive income like he was talking about, because I think we're both on the same page where we get bored very easily. We don't want to be the 65-year-old that just sits on the couch.
You want to stay in the same place.
Yeah, and you know, I would rather in my 20s and 30s travel, do the things I want to do, than do them when I'm 70 and I have a bad knee and my hip's replaced and I don't want to be here anymore. So
that's another inside joke. There's another. We'll tell them this one. Should we? Well, I already said it, so fuck it. So whenever, this is totally like ADHD taking over right now, but so we used to speak in acronyms.
But so the origin of I don't want to be here anymore.
Well, I was trying to say
because this will be a whole episode of the month and a half when I was a junior in college where Zuko lived on my floor in my single dorm room.
That was fun.
And we were in the common room and we were heating up food that we had stolen to eat because we didn't have any money.
Was that from Walmart? Like
we hit everything
in Manchester, New Hampshire. You name it, we stole from there. And to survive. This is not recreational.
No, and we'll tell that's a whole episode of like my junior year of college and all of the.
It was my sophomore year of dropout.
Yeah. But all of like the trials and tribulations that we faced that year. So we're in the common room. We're heating up some food and we're just like kind of on our phones eating, talking. And I finished my food first, and I don't know if you were like heating something up like a second thing or dessert or whatever.
I was heating up my food. I turn around, and you're just fucking gone.
Well, no, I was walking out the door, and you were like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I don't want to be here anymore." And then I just left. I went back to my room.
Like, to be fair, like we were really getting on each other's nerves because like I was sleeping on this dude's floor for like.
How big is that room? Like
tiny,
100 square feet. Even
not even. It's literally like it's. Maybe double the size of like one of my bathrooms here. Like it's not like it was a single. Like
for anyone that went to SNU and they lived in the lower suites, you know how small those rooms were. So The rooms are really small, and obviously it's a single bed, so there's only one bed. So for the first like 2 weeks, Zuko was just sleeping on the floor while I slept in the bed. And then we ended up like taking apart the frame and putting the mattress on the floor and just sharing a single bed for like 5 weeks.
Yeah, no, it was, we ran out of food on his meal plan.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't want to get too into it because
we'll spend more time.
So that, I think that pretty much wraps up.
But anyway, so I don't want to be here anymore. That was the origin of that. But then that turned into a whole, like, speaking in acronyms thing, like IDWBHA. So now we'll currently, like, go to parties or we'll be on, like, a double date and I'll just, like, text him or I'll say, like, IDW. And then the other person knows we're getting the fuck out of here. We're going home.
We've been in situations where we're always around people and we can't just, like, say what we think because we're assholes. So we always, like, if you ever hear us talking, we're just saying random letters. And you can pretty much guarantee that if you hear us talking in letters,
we're talking about you.
Yeah, we don't like you. We don't
want to
be there.
Not that we don't like you. We just don't want you to understand.
We don't
like
most people. So.
Well, that's fair. But like, I mean, I wouldn't even say that. It was just like, we don't want you to understand like what we're saying. So like a lot of like people who are like ESL or just speak multiple languages fluently, like they have that other language they can go to. We just have like acronyms that
we call
that.
We never named like our language.
We haven't. Maybe we should.
Maybe we should let them name.
But regardless.
All so, right, so what do you got next?
All right. So I can't read my own handwriting. Someone asked like why we're starting a podcast. We kind of covered that. We covered real estate. Oh, okay. This is kind of like this covers both friendship and like career. And they asked like any crazy roommate situations.
Yeah, which I can definitely touch on.
Yeah. How do we want to start this? We have differing perspectives on this. So you go.
No, you go first, and then I'll tell
you. No, I'd rather you go than I tell the truth.
So, douche jar.
Douche jar. What do we have?
Did we even explain the douche jar, like, besides your Instagram?
No, so it's actually from this, it's like a girly show, but New Girl. It's pretty funny. But anyways, like, there's this, like, more arrogant, like, character in this show, and he's one of the roommates in this apartment, and every time he does or says something, like, douchey, he has to donate money to the douche jar.
I really don't think that you want to start this because you're going to be broke pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, I'm going to lose. Like, actually, my dad DM'd me on Instagram after seeing the story that I posted saying, like, dude, you're going to lose, like, all your house profits in the first episode. We're already getting there. But what are we at? Like, $4 or $5? $5!
We're at $7.
Are we at $7? Bucks?
I'm going back from last night.
Are you counting by twos? No, like, since on air.
You don't even realize how douchey you are. You just say things that are, and I literally let 4, 5, 6.
What, last night?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No, we're only, like, during recording of the podcast. Like,
what,
if
so
we
you
just
save
go,
yourself some fucking money?
Like, yeah, I'd rather confine it to, like, the hour and a half of us recording. Like, if we just go, I will not have any money if we just go throw it, like, just life in general.
All right, so we're the crazy roommate story. So when Zuko bought the house, I was looking to move out of my mom's condo. So Zuko and he had offered me to rent out one of the rooms in the second floor apartment. And so I moved in pretty much like a couple days after you moved in because you live upstairs.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any other roommates in the apartment. It was just me. So it was my job in the beginning to find roommates to share the apartment with me. But, and this is where we kind of have differing opinions on, you know, the situation.
I would love to take a poll.
2 weeks into me living here, I had gotten pulled over for a suspended license, which was like a whole different story in itself. It was like the court system screwed me multiple ways. So I lost my license for a month. So I wasn't living in my apartment. I was living at my mom's condo on her couch. During the week, she would drive me to and from work. And then I would stay here on the weekends. So while I'm paying lawyer fees, while I'm at the DMV trying to get my license reinstated, while I have no car, finding roommates to live in my apartment was not a top priority. So I remember the conversation. Zuko called me and said that he had found or he had screened tenants that he wanted to come in to rent the apartment and that he wanted me to meet them. And then the next day he said, I gave it to them. They're good people. You'll like them. Threw in at the very end, very nonchalantly, by the way, they're criminals. I can't see what they did on the background check, but, you know, I talked to him and he explained the situation. It's not that big of a deal. So, okay.
All right. So,
I'm not done.
Okay.
So,
it's going to happen.
That was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And then on Friday after work, when I came to the apartment, I met them for the first time. And I will say they were very nice. I had like an hour conversation.
They gave a great
first
impression.
They did. It was like a boyfriend or girlfriend, they said that they were like fiancés, but like they're just weird.
Yeah.
So first, now I was only there for the first month on Fridays and Saturdays. So like I didn't really have a lot of time with them. It was like they were moving in. We'd talk here and there in the kitchen or whatever the case is. So then on November 1st, when I got my license back and everything was squared away, I came back full time and I was living in, again, the first like couple of days, everything was cool. And I just started to see some things that I could understand why one of them was a criminal. You know, they were taking prescription pills multiple times a day. They were stealing things. We went to Walmart once because he needed to buy a vacuum for his girlfriend. And we get in my car and he has 7 knives from the hunting section that he stole throughout the duration of the trip.
Let's press pause on this because there's so many like little anecdotes from there. I'd rather I want to tell like my perspective of how we got to this point, okay. And then we can go over like all the different crazy stories because these people were they were nuts. But like kind of like Patrick elaborated on it and kind of like skewed it a little bit, I think. But
I don't think I skewed it at all.
Well, obviously we're gonna I'll tell my side of the story. So I buy my house. I closed on it on September 4th, and I put the offer in and knew I was getting it in early August. It was like a 30-day close. So from basically August forward, Patrick knew that he was going to be living in a 3-bedroom apartment and needed to find 2 roommates. We've gotten into disagreements about like whether like whose responsibility it was or like the level of effort that was put in. But my perspective was like, dude, like you can have a room, you can rent a 3-bedroom out, but like, I got to pay my mortgage. I got to make money off this. So like, yeah, you're my best friend. I'm going to hook it up. You'll pay less than the other 2 people, whatever, but you got to find people to live with. And as Patrick explained, like that didn't happen. He didn't prioritize it, whatever, but it didn't happen. I needed to fill that vacancy in order to pay my mortgage. Cause like, just to kind of overly simplify it, like obviously like if I have multiple units, it's going to be a more expensive mortgage and like the tenants are covering most, if not all of that or generating a profit. But if it's empty, then you're stuck with a pretty big monthly bill. So, you know, September goes by, October goes by, and now we're in November.
No, it was October.
They started paying, I think, November 1st.
They moved in October.
I think it was late October, though.
No, it was like early October. Because I my license, I was pulled over October 1st, because I remember it was 30 days. I got my license back November 1st. And I met them the first weekend that I came back.
Because okay,
you had
so,
already met them. And we were
all right, fine.
Yeah.
So we'll say mid-October.
Early, it was like October 8th, 9th. Like it was like early October.
Okay, sure. So you had 60 days plus, so we'll call it 69 days. Like, literally, though, like, if it was, like, the 8th or the 9th, it was 69 days. Nice. And to find people that are willing to live with you. Now, I know you had other stuff going on, but at the end of the day, that was your responsibility. And then when it was not happening, I had to find something quickly. And
no, and I never said that I was mad that you found people. And we had talked about, and I don't know if you remember this, but we had said that if I couldn't find people, that you would do the marketing and find people. Which, and I wasn't even mad about that. What I was frustrated over was when you called me and said that you found people that you want me to meet, and then less than 24 hours later, you're like, ah, they're moving in.
Well, yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, like, I own the house. You had 2 months to fucking find roommates. I had to do it. It's not really like, sorry for the miscommunication, but like, it's my responsibility to do that. You know, your needs aren't necessarily the priority.
Well, and like I've said multiple times, like, I'm not, my anger or bitterness or whatever the case is was not with the roommates. It was the situation that transpired with your girlfriend and how I felt like the needs of the tenants that were paying rent were not met for your girlfriend. And that happened.
What are we even talking about right
now? I'm saying that's
what we're talking about.
No, I'm saying I wasn't angry that you got the room. That wasn't where I was. Like, we fought about.
So for everyone who voted, I think 70% of you in the poll that
19 minutes
didn't even make it the full 30 minutes. So you guys were correct.
This
podcast 30% of you were wrong. It's
regardless, I'm not gonna like air out dry laundry.
Well, that's exactly what you're fucking doing.
But anyway, yeah. So who cares?
Anyways, back to the finding of the tenants, because that's not even that's like a red herring and a half. Yeah,
that's why I whatever.
Yeah, we can address that later on. But anyway, so these people move in. I run a credit check, background check on them. They didn't have the highest income, but it was also kind of a tricky situation where I had to find multiple people who were like willing to live with and split the cost with, like a total stranger, like random 25-year-old kid, you know, in their apartment who's already there. Which, I mean, people do that all the time. It's not like a huge deal, but, you know, meanwhile, like I'm still working a full-time job, evicting the other first floor tenants for totally separate reasons. Like they had, you know, a pit bull, and there's nothing wrong with that, but insurance won't cover it. You know, so I'm doing like a million things at once, and I was counting on, you know, my best friend to do what he said he was going to do. Didn't happen, whatever. So I had to fill that vacancy, and, you know, I had people who presented very well. They came in with their whole family. Oh, this is perfect, like perfect for, you know, person A and person B, whatever. And, you know, I ran like a quick background check on them, and a sealed incident came up in like I think it was either a newspaper article or like an old police report, but it was sealed. I called this guy, asked him about it. And it had happened a decade ago. He was 27. It happened when he was 17. I forget the years, but it was 10 years prior to where we were. And he explained the whole thing. He was very open and honest and transparent. He was like, no, honestly, like I messed up. I was a drunk high school kid, and I got into a huge fight with my uncle. And, you know, I ended up, it's sealed. You can't see that for a reason. Like I went to court and, you know, I don't know if it was a plea deal or he won or what, but it's sealed. It just shows that something happened. It didn't say like what, and he explained what I thought was the whole story. And so anyways, like I was like, you know what, like this has been a difficult search. You know, we're trying to satisfy a lot of requirements given the amount of bedrooms, you know, already having Patrick living there, whatever. I'm going to do it. I need the money. Like I needed this to happen. Now, granted, for anyone getting started in real estate, like definitely be more thorough and, you know, get more references and whatever. But, you know, like, I was like, I need this to happen. And they satisfied, like, they presented well, and it seemed fine. It wasn't until, like...
Well, so, this is where another part of, like, the argument got into, was where I was living in the same apartment as them. So, all of the things that were happening on a daily basis were happening to my face and in a close proximity, where you lived upstairs. You weren't really like in the situation. Like I would tell you stories, but the stories really don't even do it justice, like unless you're in the situation. So as I was saying, like stealing things from Walmart, just doing dumb shit, like stuff of that nature. So it's the week before Thanksgiving. I went to Buffalo to visit a friend, and I get a text from one of the guy at 2 a.m. And he says that someone broke into the apartment. They stole all my shoes. And that he had saw a guy in the window and they were taking a walk around the block at 2 a.m. They look in the window. They see a guy. They come in the house. And so what ended up happening, I went to Buffalo, a trip they knew I was going on. I took a lot of my sneakers with me because I was going to take pictures and I had different outfits. So talking to the girlfriend after the fact, she had said that there was like a brown hoodie on a chair. And the boyfriend was high off Xanax or Percocet or whatever and thought that he saw a guy in our apartment at 2 a.m. So this is where I start getting like, all right, I need to like...
Well, there was even stuff before that, though. Like this guy used to... We could give him a name. Anyway, so this guy, like, after he moves in and, like, I made the mistake of getting, like, a little too friendly with them. Like, I let them cook me dinner once when they moved in.
Let's call him
like,
Dan.
Sure.
Dirty Dan.
Dirty Dan. Dirty Danny! So anyways, so Dirty Danny, double D's. Dirty Danny, he would just like, and I thought he was nuts. I still think he was. And Patrick, I think you believed or maybe still believe some of, he talked a lot of shit.
No, I think that accident that he talked about being in, I think was real. And I think that messed with his head. And I think that he has a lot of like memory issues. I think he exaggerates things.
Well,
I think that he's also a drug addict too.
About.
So
let's explain what you're talking about. Cause you're kind of jumping ahead a little bit.
Well, no, I'm saying that's why I think that he's like, I don't think that he's lying. I think that he does like
So anyways, so like he had been into like a serious car accident. He's had some like drug abuse issues. He had a baby mama or whatever, like that. I mean, it's all he said, she said, but he did not have custody of his son or anything like that. And there was a whole like separate situation where he wanted to like rent out another bedroom from me for his kid. And then that ended up being like a whole separate disaster, like fiasco going on. But so Danny boy, dirty Daniel back at it again with the white Zans. Oh, Jesus. Okay, so he would just like start talking about like bragging about like, yo, I know you love your girl, like my ex-girlfriend at the time. Like, I know you love your girl, but like I know like every prostitute in Lowell. Like every race, you got a fetish, dwarves, gimps.
It's funny when he did talk about like things like that, his voice would get low like
so
that.
Intense.
He'd make these funny faces like, bro, like you're my guy, but like you wanna get this going, we'll get this going.
No, and he would brag about being like gang affiliated. And like there are gangs.
Well, and
Lowell.
That's one of the stories that I want to tell throughout the craziness. So there was one time when I came back from Buffalo and he had claimed that somebody broke into the apartment. He was also claiming that people were coming in like all the time while we were home. The guy clearly didn't know what he was talking about.
And I have cameras everywhere outside.
So he asked me to take him to Walmart to buy a BB gun just to like, in case someone ever came in, like he could pretend like he had protection, which whatever.
Yeah, or pull it on his girlfriend.
Yeah. And he, I mean, he paid for it. He wanted to have it. So whatever. So he did. And there were a couple times he'd come home from work and he'd put the BB gun on the table and like I'd pick it up and like very like mafia movie style, like he'd pick up a handkerchief and like wipe off my fingerprints. And he was like, I just used this to knock out a drug dealer and I stole his money and I stole his drugs. Like for weeks he would say this stuff. So it all came to a head. It was middle of December and I don't even know where I came from. My mom's, I was visiting my mom on a Sunday. I came back and they were both gone off Percocet. And to
was
the point,
I thought it was Zans.
It was, I mean, at
I
that
mean, they
point,
had
was,
everything.
Yeah.
They literally
so
had everything.
I walk into the kitchen, the girlfriend's holding onto the chair. She's like, her back is like all the way bent backwards. Like she's passed out. Dan comes into the room. He's also like, his eyes are going left and right. And he wants me to take him to Dollar Tree to pick up some wrapping paper to wrap his son's Christmas gifts. So first, him and the girlfriend wanted ice cream, so we go to 7-Eleven to get ice cream. He starts eating honey buns and just like snacks in the aisles and then starts putting food into his pockets. The girlfriend's like literally on the floor by the freezer because she's so gone. Finally, I'm like, I'm going to wait in the car, do your stuff, whatever. So they come in the car. I drop off the girlfriend at our apartment and I take Dan and we go to Dollar Tree. Now, this is a key part of the story that is going to make a lot of sense in about 2 minutes. Before we left, or when we dropped her off, she went to the bathroom.
The girlfriend.
Dan goes into his room because he asked me to come with him, and I see him with a handful of pills and $100 in cash. And he puts it all in his pocket, and he's like, all right, let's go. So we get in the car. The girlfriend comes running out and storms off, like literally just into the darkness of Lowell. We go to Dollar Tree, we come back, and the front door is slightly open, but I could hear the girlfriend upstairs because, like, not that you know the house, but you get to the front door, it was open, you go up a couple stairs, there's another door, and then
you hear people stepping
around
above you.
Yeah, so you can hear she's, like, audibly upset and angry. So Dan thinks that somebody has broken into the house again. He pulls out what is now a real gun, I don't know where he got it, and busts through the apartment. I'm just kind of laughing because I'm like, you're so gone. And now she's fighting with him. She's screaming. She says, where's my pills? Where's my money? Which now in my head, I'm like, he had pills and money just 5 minutes ago. So my theory is that he thought that she was so high that she wouldn't even remember that he took her pills and her money.
Well, let's explain what he accused people of first.
Well, he accused everyone of always stealing. Like he accused Zuko of breaking into our apartment at random parts of the night and just like, which, and I tried to explain to him, I'm like, nothing's missing. So why would he just come into our apartment just to like come in?
Well, yeah. So what happened was they come back home from the store. I'm upstairs with my then girlfriend and so Dirty Dan and Patrick come back accusations start flying. Like, where are my Jordans? Where's my cash? Well, no,
you're missing a part of the story. So he comes in. She's mad. She accuses him of stealing his stuff. I go into my bedroom. She goes into the bathroom. A lot of shuffling and moving around starts happening. I come out of my room. Dan and her room are flipped upside down. He's now accusing that somebody broke into our apartment and ransacked his room and stole his Jordans, her money, the drugs, everything. So it was very obvious that he did it himself, tried to stage a break-in because he was the one that stole the shit and didn't want to get in trouble with his girlfriend. So he comes out to me and says, I think somebody robbed us. And I very calmly was like, well, I have, not to be a dick, but I have more valuable stuff than you. And nothing in my room is moved, not even like a thing out of place. And I just heard you flipping things over. But whatever. So then he goes upstairs to Zuko.
Yeah. So Dan comes up to me and like Patrick was saying, he was like, you know, what do I do, bro? Like, someone broke in, like, and he had this crazy, I wish, like, we were, like, video recording this.
Yeah.
Like, which, someday, stay tuned. But, like, he had this crazy, like, possessed look in his eye. I mean, granted, he was on probably several somethings. And he's like, well, what do I do? I'm like, well, have you called the police? Like, I can show you. So I have an app on my phone that shows me all, like, the activity, like, motion sensors. You know, the cameras will show you what's going on. People coming in, coming out. Like, they don't miss anything. They're, you know, angled a certain way. So you literally cannot enter the premises without triggering it. Like, that's what they're there for. So I go through showing him everything. And it's very evident that, like, no one came in or out besides them. And I can tell you're waiting for your turn to speak, but you weren't part of this.
Well no, I was waiting for when he comes back down.
Yeah, we're not even close to that. We're not even close to that. I will then pass it to you when I'm done with my part of the story. Let's not...
$8.
No, like, genuinely, like, you need to stop waiting for your turn to speak.
Okay, well,
like, you know what I mean? Like, let it actually happen. Because you cut me off several times.
Okay,
go. I'm getting angry now! So Dan.
Good job.
I caught myself there. So... Dan, it's like when you edit something and you cut something out and just replace it with Dan.
Yeah.
Like,
well, because you're not gonna be able to hear this part if you're listening. He said the real name 10 times that we have.
Yeah.
To keep,
say like the first like syllable. I'd be like, and Dan. So anyway, right, so continue. Dan came upstairs. So Dan comes upstairs and, you know, I'm showing him the camera footage. There's nothing there. And he's like, well, what do I do? I was like, well, you can call the cops. I don't know what they can do, but I'm just your landlord. I'm not law enforcement. Do you have renter's insurance? What's that? I was like, well, so I own the home. I have home insurance. When you rent, in order to protect your possessions, you get renter's insurance. That's just how it works. How do I get that? Well, it's a little late now. So I was sort of explaining how that works to him and encouraging him to call the cops because there's nothing I can do. And, He starts accusing, like, me, maybe my girlfriend at the time, maybe the first floor tenants who, this was after I evicted the previous first floor tenants. These were, like, very trustworthy people who I'm close with, of breaking in and taking his stuff. Like, we don't want your, like, smelly shoes. Yeah. We don't want your drugs. Like, we don't want your $100. So he calls the cops. The cops come.
And I want to just, like, wrap it up because we've been on this for, like, 20 minutes, and I don't want to make, like, this just... So I want to just get to, like, to the ending because that's, like, the craziest part. So I'm in my room. I hear voices in the living room. I come out. There's a cop. Dan is now claiming to the cop.
Dan, son, where'd you find this?
He's telling the cop that someone broke in, and the cop looks at me. I kind of give him a face, and he goes, is anything in your room stolen? I said, no. He goes, is anything missing? I said, no. He comes into my room. He's like, you have a lot of valuable stuff in here. I go, I know. He goes, and why would they just rob him? And I go, honestly, they're high on drugs. I don't think anyone broke in. I think he's just staging this. So the cop comes back out. Dan's,
well, the cop comes up to me afterwards.
Well, no, before he, this is before he went upstairs. He comes out. Dan's crying. He doesn't know what to do. The cop goes, or I tell the cop, I go, listen, my best friend's the landlord. He lives upstairs. He's home. He has cameras if you want to go talk to him. So that's when the cop goes upstairs and talks to you.
Yeah, and the cop basically echoed what Patrick was saying. And he was like, he literally said, like, verbatim, dude, you got to get these people the fuck out. And I was like, don't worry, like, I have the paperwork drawn up. Because at this point, like, before the fake robbery, there was, like, he would tell little, like, and again, I don't know how much I believe them, but he would tell, like, little anecdotes about how he killed someone and fed them to the pigs, because they also eat the bones. He would talk about, you know, prostitution. He would talk about drugs. And he was also at one point, which this is an important part of the story. He claimed to have been jumped by people in a van with guns. And so his solution to that was standing guard at the front door with a machete in his pants.
And that was after I moved out.
It was actually after. Yeah. It was after you moved out.
I also forgot. This is another funny part of the story.
Well, there's after you moved out, I have more stories. Yeah. But.
So, and I don't want to make this the whole episode, but one night when I was in bed sleeping, there were some noises in the kitchen. And the next day I came out and I was like, hey, Dan, I have to work on the weekday. So, like, if you could keep it down at night. And he was like, yeah, yeah, bro, I'm sorry. By the way, like, I'm glad you didn't come out last night because, like, you know, plausible deniability. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he gives me, like, the classic Dan, like, grin and goes, we were cutting a kilo of coke up on the kitchen table.
He kind of had, like, that, like, you know, like, in the Grinch, how he, the cartoon one, not the Jim Carrey one, he kind of just looks at you. He, like, his eyebrows furrow, the smile gets bigger and bigger, and that literally was, like, what he would do.
Okay, so back to, like, the alleged robbery night. So the cop leaves, the girlfriend's in hysterics, the boyfriend's upset, and Dan, and then... in hindsight, probably shouldn't have said it, but
I was definitely not. Your audience.
It's been 3 hours. Like, it's just been such a crazy night. I wanted to just get this over with. So I look at Dan and I said, very calmly, I was like, Dan, I saw you take some pills before we went to Dollar Tree. Is it possible that maybe you're just too high and that you misplaced the money? Very, like, normal. I wasn't, like, accusing him. I was just saying, like, you know, is that a possible scenario?
Not the best question to ask,
Dan. Dan then stands up, pushes me against the wall, takes out a knife, and puts it to my throat, and says, and I quote, are you calling me a fucking junkie? Call me a fucking addict. Call me a fucking addict. So I mean, he was, in all fairness. And if I said that, I would have died. But so I'm here now. I have his forearm against my chest, a knife to my throat, trying to see another day.
Pretty kinky.
So I'm just like, listen, I'm not accusing you of anything. I was just saying, like, you know, calm down. Like, I'm not accusing you of anything. Like, you're right, someone broke in. Now I'm just trying to de-escalate the situation. Dan sits down, starts crying, and says, I'm sorry, bro. You know I would never do anything to hurt you, right? Like, I would never hurt you, the man says, after holding a knife to my throat, not 5 seconds earlier. So everything calms down. I pack a bag. I go to my mom's. I stay there for the rest of the week. I come back on Friday when everyone's gone. I move the fuck out. That was I had one more interaction with Dan. He texted me like 2 or 3 days after I moved out saying how he wanted to still stay friends. He thought of me as a brother. He didn't want to lose me in his life. Then I blocked both of their numbers. Never saw Dan again. Saw the girlfriend once when she was crying drunk on your front porch when I walked over her to go into your house. And then I never saw them again.
Yeah. And so, like, honestly, like, Patrick saw, like, 2/3 of this, because I had to live with it for, like, another couple of months. They ended up moving out in February, so this is what, maybe January?
This is December.
Late December, January, yeah. So Patrick moves out, and I know that you don't want to spend more time on this, but, like, literally, there's...
No, a couple more minutes, yeah.
Well, there's so much more that, like...
I know. This we could do a whole episode on it.
Well, we already have. Like, I think we're at the point where we just have to finish it, because, like, what are we going to tell all but one story? Like, like, we got to commit to it at this point. So Patrick moves out, and at this point, like, I've already handed all three of them individually notices that they got to get the fuck out, because they were tenants at will, you know, month-to-month lease. They only require 14-day notice, and I gave Patrick one to make it look good so it wasn't just, like, you know, get the fuck out of my house, junkies. So Patrick was already, like, you know, planning on moving back because of both them and everything. So Dan... Dan, all right, anyway, so, Dan asked me for an extension multiple times, and I'm like, dude, I only had to give you 14 days notice, and I gave them the notice in, I want to say, like, early to mid-December.
Yeah.
So, and I said they had to be out by February 1st, so that's, like, almost 2 months, like, a month and a half. So they had more than what I was required to give them. Like, I was trying to, honestly, I was being overly nice to people who didn't deserve it. But I was also, like, not legitimately worried I'd be fed to the pigs, but, like, I'd rather, like, you know, tread lightly. So, now Dan and his girlfriend at some point had broken up, but he would still come over to like lay pipe once in a while, which was very loud and in the bedroom directly beneath my bedroom. Which side note, like they could also hear what was going on up there.
Yeah, one time when I came home. I'm not gonna get into it. I was gonna say there was one time I came home and Dan and the girlfriend were in the living room laughing.
They were just literally listening to me have sex.
But they did a very great Zuko impression of when he's very close to finishing. And it might be the only reason why I'm glad that Dan was my roommate for a short period of time.
I mean, it was some quality.
It was quality.
Quality content. Yeah. Yeah, no, he did. He did do a good I suppose. But where the fuck was I?
After they broke up.
Like Dan's coming back to like lay pipe, and like they had broken up, and he had moved out, went back to his parents. Dan's girlfriend was still there. Now she was a recovering alcoholic, and yeah, so she had relapsed pretty badly, like both with the drugs and alcohol, and she had like some internal organ issues, like from her previous drug abuse with, you know, heroin, alk, whatever. Yeah. so she starts boozing pretty heavily once Dan leaves, and there were like I think three separate like 2 or 3 a.m. overdoses. Yeah. So I'm woken up in the middle of the night by sirens and flashing lights, and you know. Maybe it's messed up to think this, but I was just so ready for them to be gone that I was kind of like almost hoping something happened, which is terrible. I'm glad that like they at least survived then. I don't know what they're up to now. But you know, it was tough kind of like not living in fear, but like they were a floor beneath me and knives, guns, whatever were pulled. Like at one point after Patrick had moved out, Dan had literally pulled out a gun on Dan's girlfriend, and then we had to like call the police. She wouldn't give a statement, and she said, "I ain't no snitch," and said some other things. But at one point when she was drinking, my first floor tenant and I, a close friend, we carpool to work together, and we come back. It is raining, like pouring rain. And this woman, Dan's ex-girlfriend, who is still living there, is laying on her back in the driveway in the rain. Like, we had to, like, drive around her.
Yeah.
Blasting Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson.
Great song.
Beer in each hand, double fisting, and like it was a sight.
Yeah, I had to step over her once to get into the house. Yeah. And I will say this is
it's kinda like the who was it? The NBA like steps over him and lands.
Allen Iverson.
It was Allen Iverson stepping over what's his name? He's a coach.
Ty Lue.
It was like that. Like,
and I would tell Zuko when he would tell me, like, you know, because we would talk every day, and he's like, "You know, I'm really afraid, you know, like they live a floor below me and all this happens." And my response is always, "Imagine living in the same apartment as them for a month and a half."
Yeah, like literally. But
so that's like the crazy.
No, it's not. But yeah, I mean, it ended up being he was so desperate to get his security deposit back that the place wasn't trashed. They moved out. I don't know if either one of them still alive. Like, I'd probably place pretty low odds on both of them.
Cheers to Dan and his ex.
Cheers to Dan. And the one we never gave a nickname to. But anyway, so that's like the long story short. PSA, screen your tenants very thoroughly.
After 40 minutes, the moral of the story, screen your tenants.
Screen your tenants.
so.
But yeah, so that answers the crazy tenant / roommate situation.
Do you want to go to dating or friendship?
I feel like dating we got to just do for like a whole episode. Like, there's so much. Or do you want to, is there like one particular?
Let's do the friendship stuff. And then when we see how much time we have left.
Okay. Well, like the first one, which I mean, it's an obvious one, but like everyone asks, like, how did you become friends? How the fuck are you still friends?
So it's very similar. Again, same story, different perspectives.
I think we agree on this one.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like,
entirely.
Yeah. So I have a cousin, Jimmy, who his mom is best friends with Zuko's mom. So growing up, they were very close, and obviously he's my cousin, so we were very close.
Jimmy's your cousin.
Jimmy, yeah. So when I was younger, me and Jimmy would spend a lot of time with each other. We'd have, like, you know, 10-day sleepovers, and because, you know, we're family.
And,
so,
and
like,
Jimmy and I did the same thing.
Yeah. So every time, like, it would be the wrap-up of our hangout or a sleepover with one of us, he'd always be going to the other person's house.
So we would always be, like, pissed off and jealous. Like, we resented each other, even though we knew each other.
Well, we had gone to, like, IHOP a couple times, and we had, like, hung out. And like, we never had a problem with each other. We always, like, it was actually funny. Whenever we were together, I'd always leave and be like, "We should hang out with Zuko more. He's a good kid."
And then Jimmy'd be like, "No." He'd be like,
Jimmy,
"Nah."
Jimmy kept us apart pretty much.
Yeah.
So then it was a going into my sophomore year of high school, you were going into your freshman year at the prep.
Yeah.
We were at a
yeah.
wedding. One of my other cousins got married. And which Lisa tells the story, I guess, like, my Aunt Sharon got pissed because they said no kids were invited.
And, oh, and they, Mary brings yeah, Mary all the of kids. Them. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
So Lisa, my mom, was like, let's go over and say hi to Mary and the kids. And I was like, I don't want to go over there. I don't like that Zuko kid. So we go over and she's talking about how Zuko's starting his freshman year at the prep. My older brother went to the prep. I got into the prep and didn't go.
Yeah, so JJ was going into his senior year.
No, junior year.
Was it his junior year? He was a senior when I was senior, a freshman. Right. Yeah, so senior, I was yeah, going yeah. into freshman. He was going
yeah,
into senior.
Yeah.
And so, like, our moms, like Patrick's mom and my mom, wanted to, like, you know, like when parents force their kids yeah. to talk to each other, they wanted Patrick's brother, JJ, and myself to kind of, like, get to know each other so I'd have somebody at the prep and he, you know, yeah. whatever. And Patrick was there, and we kind of both left the wedding, like, I don't like this fucking kid.
Well, so we're like, just sitting there awkwardly. Your moms are talking. We're just kind of like, hey, like, what's going on? So then the conversation ends, we go back to our table, and my mom was like, you should really hang out with Andrew, he's a nice boy. And I was like, Mom, I hate that kid, don't ever bring him up to my face again, like, he's the biggest fucking loser. And you had a similar conversation.
I mean, like,
with
I wasn't like that.
Oh, I was.
I know you were.
I hated you.
I just, like, it was more just like, do I really have to?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like I hated you, it was more just yeah. like, I want to hang out with Jimmy, why are we including someone else? Yeah. Like, and Jimmy, he, like, he and I, well, now you have some similar interests, but, like, back then, like, you were pretty much all, like, Madden and sports yeah. and, like, stuff like that, and I love that stuff, I still do,
yeah.
but Jimmy and I bonded over, like, more nerdy stuff, yeah. like, you know, whether it was, like, zoology or, like, Star Wars and whatever, and so, like, you're, like, doing the, like, weird eye flutter yeah, thing, yeah. it's, like, so feminine, and it, like, bothers me so much, but yeah, so, like, it was different kind of, like, we did different things
yeah.
we hung out, too.
So then radio silence for like 2 or 3 years. We don't really, I mean, like, again, it's one of those things, like, you know, like
we were always
like a status on Facebook or whatever. We didn't really see each other.
Yeah.
So now I'm a freshman.
We would see each other at like family events yeah, or birthday yeah, yeah. parties, but like
not like any like one-on-one.
Just vying
like, yeah.
for Jimmy's attention, and yeah. I would like resent you for like hogging Jimmy or
insane.
Vice versa.
So now it's my freshman year in college, and there's a meme on social media that goes around where like girls will be like, that one girl you haven't talked to in 5 years that DMs you, hey girl, I have this business opportunity for you to get involved with.
Let's not go into that.
No. I'm just saying this is the message that you sent me. That's how we started talking again.
Well, I mean, we started talking when it was New Year's and you.
This was before that.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
I don't think so.
You sent me a message on Facebook.
I know.
But I'm saying, but the reason why I even responded was because it wasn't one of those like generic like, hey, dude, let's talk. Like, you wrote it so, like, you were like, hey, babe, haven't talked to you in so long. Like, hope everything's going well with, like all these inside jokes. So I was like, oh, that fucking Zuko kid. So that's when we started talking again. And then it came to, like, a full moment when the AFC Championship game. When I went and we talked about going to IHOP.
Yeah, but no, but before that, there was a night where, like, I wasn't drinking. It was, like, New
oh.
Year's Eve, and that's what I was talking about. And that's when we first like started talking. We might have picked it up again through the Facebook message.
Wait, were we together?
You and
Big Mike. No, that wasn't New Year's. That was like,
it was a holiday. I don't know if it was Christmas Eve.
No,
I don't know if it was New Year's Eve.
That was in high school.
Yeah, and I'm saying.
Yeah, but I saw you once. And we didn't like talk again after that.
But like
that.
That's where we like first started like actually communicating, connecting on social media.
Not really.
Well, that's what happened.
No, we did, but then we didn't like really talk again like for another
year. I mean,
it
was here and there. Like when we used to do all like those stupid
like
my status
yeah.
stuff, we would always. So it was like a social media type of friendship.
Yeah, but it wasn't
then,
like a real until.
Well, yeah, and so then
yeah.
I reached out to Patrick because I was working on like a network marketing thing
yeah.
at the time. And like I had like threw in like a lot of homoerotic things inside.
And that's
jokes.
What I'm saying. Like,
and it was funny.
That's why
but,
I responded because
like,
I was like,
but crack. the stupid like Facebook things in high school. Like we would always do like, oh, I like you know like this status, and I'll tell you where I get your name tattooed
yeah.
or something like that. And I was like, oh my ass. So like
yeah.
something stupid that like high schoolers like did back then.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of that's kind of always the rapport that we had until we started hanging out.
Yeah, but like so. I have a lot of friends like that now where it's like you communicate on social media, but you don't
yeah.
actually.
I mean,
yeah.
that's most of my friends.
So,
I only hang out with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but I'm getting to the point where I went to an AFC championship game. Slight brag. It's like 5 of them. No big deal. And the day
the day
of the game, I had texted Zuko about something and we had talked about going to IHOP the next day because I had Martin Luther King Day off, so did he, and I was going back to school that night.
Well, and we had, like, not met, but, like, I think the last time we had seen each other was when...
With Jimmy and IHOP. With
Jimmy and IHOP, and, like, you and Jimmy got dragged. I got dragged.
We all got dragged.
Well, you all got dragged. Like, our mom, or Jimmy's mom and my mom wanted to get all the kids together and go to IHOP. I just wanted the chocolate chip pancakes with the whipped cream, smiley face, and all that shit.
And chocolate milk.
What's it called?
It's
called something. Whatever.
I don't know what it's called.
It's gonna bother me. It's gonna like come to me in the middle.
Three hours later.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. But anyway, so like we got dragged to that. Had a really good time. That was around the time that Big Sean song Ass came out, and one of us started playing it because we thought it was funny. And then this table next to us, I don't know what ethnicity they were.
I think
but
they were Indian.
They might have been Indian. Yeah. But like they just start going like us, and it was just so funny. And that was like
yeah. So we made plans to go to IHOP the next day after the game. So Monday happens, and I am trying. And if people know me now, like I make plans and bail all the time. Oh, I'm trying my best to bail.
I never follow through.
Both of our moms are like, "You're not bailing on that kid. Like go to IHOP together."
And we really had no valid excuse other than I don't want to drive. I don't feel like going.
Yeah, pretty much. And it made it even worse. I live like 5 minutes from IHOP. Yeah. Like, I was like, whatever. So we get there and we ended up having like a great time. And this is around the time where Thrift Shop by Macklemore was popular.
Yeah.
So we finished at IHOP and there happened to be a Thrift Shop like right across the street.
Like
so we're like, do you want to go pop some tags at the thrift store? So
and Fun Run. Don't forget Fun
Run. Yeah, there's just like... little childish game called Fun Run where you pick a little like
it is so much
animated
fun.
Animal.
It's a very fun run.
Yeah, it's a very fun run. And you do a race. And so that was how we became friends. And then I don't really know how it turned from that into like this like brotherhood, like close friendship. It's weird. But then that's what it turned into.
Yeah, well, part of it was actually like through Fun Run. Like we'll touch on this like later on. But we've both dealt with a lot of like loss like from family members. And in Fun Run, you can kill each other. And this is like around the time where I think I had lost two uncles that year, and you had lost one, I think. So three uncles were lost in the same span of time, among like other losses that have happened. Yeah. And so you kill. So if I died in the game, I was like, oh, fuck, I unked. And so now unking, you can be unking laughing. Like you can self-unk if you kill yourself in a video game. And so we kind of like bonded through like trauma and coping with it through humor. And... yeah, I mean, I don't know. We just got like really, really close with all our stupid inside jokes that no one else found funny. And
which is such a lie because everyone says we're not funny. But then they use fucking quote us all the time. It's so annoying. So that's like really the story of our friendship. It's not like a big like reveal or like a big thing happened. It's
that's
bonded
like
over
the
dumb shit.
That
yeah.
It boils down to, you know, we're popping tags, playing Fun Run, self-funking. Yeah.
What's next?
Okay. Why are you, Patrick, always on the left in every picture, which I think is my fault, but I don't know. Do you want to take this one?
Yeah, no, I think when we were younger, and people that know us know that, like, through our late teens and early 20s, we were obsessed with Instagram.
We forced it. I mean, I think we still do, but not nearly as much.
And the reason why I always go on the left is because we would always fight over, because we want to show off our watch or show off, like, our better side.
Is that where it started?
Yeah, because our watch is on your left hand, you're on the right side if you want to show it off. So it
but that would, because it's reverse.
So you want to be on the right.
Yeah.
So we would fight over all the time, like, you know, whatever, right? And then at some point, I think that there was one picture we took that like, I looked really good on the left, and then we just kind of like kept
it going.
It's
just usually kind of how it
happens.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll take pictures, like, I mean, for every Instagram post that we have, there's like 150 rejects.
Oh,
like,
no, it's bad. We are worse than like high school.
We're worse than
girls.
Bisco girls.
We really are.
So, like, there are pictures of me on the right.
But,
just
like,
don't look
I will
good.
Say, like, and this is a total, we'll go into this another time, but like, you have put your body, and I have too, like, put your like life on the line to get a good, like, hanging off a cliff to get me in front of a waterfall.
Yeah.
Like,
there was one time where we were at a Breakheart Reservation.
Oh my God, the tree.
I'm on a cliff hanging off of it. Zuko's in a tree.
Like, and this is like, not like a small tree. Like,
big
tree. Like, it's
big
like tree. In Mulan, where Shan Yu is like at the top of the tree and is like, eagle's like, it was a falcon. And he chops the top off of the tree. Like, that's where I was in the tree.
Yeah. And we've done that, like, we've sat in the middle of the road, middle of the highway, like whatever it takes. And this is why I get pissed, like, when I've had, like, girlfriends or other girls I'm talking to.
They don't care.
They'll, like, take three, like, quick ones. I'm like, listen.
But then for their girlfriends, their friends, they will do more than what we do.
So a lesson to anyone with their friends and taking pictures, if you're not willing to put your life on the line to get the shot, then I don't want you taking my picture.
No.
Because I'll do it for you. I will literally put my life at risk.
But I'm not going to do it for you if you just take like two blurry, shitty pictures. Don't critique me.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know if I look like shit. Like, exactly. Jesus.
All right. What we got next?
Interesting Facebook message right now. Okay. okay. So in terms of like, I mean, we got like funny stories, but it's such a general thing. Like, I think we've told a few of those today already. There's a lot of dating ones.
Let's get into some of the best ones. And then depending on how long they take, we'll maybe add on to the next episode.
Okay. Do you want to...
Let me see the...
There's a good list. I want you to like peruse a little bit. Because I don't think we want to blow our load with all the good questions too early. Like, we got to kind of like... There's a couple good ones. There's some like there's easy ones. There's some juicy ones too.
I think... I can't even read your fucking handwriting. It's so bad.
Neither can I. That's why I gave it to you.
Okay, so... I have a couple here that we can talk about.
All right. You pick. You go first. Yeah. I'll pick one after.
So this will be a two-parter. The best message to send and the best message to receive on a dating app.
Okay. Now, so is this like what you want to hear or so, what you the best thing that's worked for you or the best things that worked on you?
I would say the best things that's worked for you and the best messages that you get and you're like...
I don't
like,
know if I can say that on air.
That have worked for you?
Yeah.
I don't think you should say it on air.
I really don't think I should. Like, I just... I say a lot. Like, I just kind of like...
Okay, we'll do the best message that works for you, like, that you send out.
That I sent.
Or is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking
about. I'm like, those are the ones that you receive that, that pique your interest.
I mean, I've got some good ones. I got so many. Like, you go first. I want to find some screenshots.
So, I and everyone, and Zuko and I argue about this all the time. Like, I'm very into, like, my style as, like, I wear concert tees, Yeezys. I love music. So... For a long time on my Tinder bio, my bio was just message me Kanye West lyrics. I love Kanye. So I'd get like really funny like Kanye lyrics or I'd get like really dirty inappropriate ones like from a Kanye song. And it's like, okay, like you're trying to show interest in what I like. So that works. And then also just like really funny like dirty things that girls will say like which doesn't happen often or like that much. But like I'll get a message where I don't even know how long ago it was, but this girl was like I'm not a hunter, but like I'd love for you to tie me up or something like that.
One time.
So just like dirty and funny things like that, and then like obviously like, you know musical and Kanye.
One of my favorite ones that just came to my head. Some girl I never actually like met this girl. Like we didn't even actually have a conversation. Yeah. I just took a screenshot because it was funny. She goes, I don't eat meat, but you sir can give it to me raw. So like, if you get someone's attention. Yeah. Like now, granted, I'm probably not gonna date you if you're gonna talk to me like that. Like I mean, sure you might get my dick hard, but like. I mean, if you're like looking to date someone, like that's probably not the vibe you want.
Well, and I think like I don't know if this is every guy, but like I will send different messages to different girls based off of like
Like what my intentions are. Like if I know that you're very dateable, like it's one thing. But if like I don't really care what your response is, I'm just gonna like
let me clarify so that people don't think we're douchebags. When we say like dateable,
they are and we are.
But what I'm saying is like when we say dateable, like. I'm not talking about the way they look or their appearance. I'm saying like if a girl puts in their bio like here for a fun time, casual shit.
Well, here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah. But if they put like a nice like long bio and like they're, you know,
like
educated,
the personality, like the letters, the EFJ, whatever P-ness, I don't know, like but you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah. Or like they'll say like, you know, a funny little bio thing, they'll talk about like traveling, education, whatever. They'll say, okay, like you're looking for something more serious, which I find more like on Hinge and Bumble than Tinder. Tinder, I rank the apps as like you go to Hinge if you want something serious, even though like it's funny, I say that. Yet most of the hookup like I get or like options are from Hinge, which is like weird.
I just feel like and this is like a little bit of a tangent, but I think it's important to talk about is like Tinder was like first to market.
Yeah.
So that was everyone was swiping away, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it became about catfishing, hookups, like trashier accounts, whatever. Less dating.
Renatally.
Well, Jesus.
I'm not gonna talk about it.
No, that's a totally different story.
Zuko got catfished once and we'll talk about it.
It did happen. It did happen. Not my finest moment. I would like to find out who the real girl was because she was.
I know
attractive.
Who it is. Oh,
not the person doing the catfishing, but who the picture she was using. Anywho, but then Bumble came out, and actually that IPO just like skyrocketed.
I saw that.
Like, 31-year-old billionaire.
Yeah.
Good for you. And now Hinge is kind of like Bumble's still like a more respectable, not respectable.
You know what I
like,
hear? I never used it, but I hear it's really good. Is Coffee Meets Bagel.
I've never heard of it. I like coffee. I like bagels.
One girl that I used to work with, she met her boyfriend on it, and like they are engaged. So
interesting. Like, is that with or without cream cheese?
Anyways, this is a good one.
I didn't even finish the thought.
Oh, I thought you did.
Well, no.
Well, you said Hinge. And, well, yeah.
No, you told your thing, and then we're moving on.
Oh, yeah. What's
yeah. You're a great fucking leader on this podcast. Let me just talk about what I want.
Say your dumb message so we can go on. Fucking go.
I don't even remember what the question was. I'm so mad at you.
Best message that gets your attention on an app.
I mean, like, I don't know. A lot of people message me about my dog, which I love to talk about, Anakin. Yeah. But, like, that's also just, like, that's low-hanging fruit. Like, you know. But I don't know. Like, usually the things get the most attention are the most inappropriate ones. But, like, in terms of, like, actual, like, dating, it's, like, it's got to be more than just, like, a hey. I like gifts, like a solid gift
choice.
Too.
My the one that I always send is the
Hello there.
General Kenobi.
Which I and Sophie, those of you who have not seen Star Wars, I'm sorry.
If you haven't watched Star Wars, finish this episode and then go put on a new
Revenge
Hope.
Of the Sith.
No, or, put on New Hope. Start the whole thing.
So, well, we're not going to ask them to watch 9 fucking movies to get one reference. But
I did.
So that's fair. But anywho, so basically like there's a scene where like a good guy approaches a bad guy and catches him off guard. And so Obi-Wan like jumps down and lands, and the bad guy turns around and Obi-Wan goes, "Hello there." And then General Grievous goes, "General Kenobi." And it's like a huge Star Wars meme that like if you follow any of that, like it's pretty prevalent. But there's a GIF on all the apps, and it's Obi-Wan's face like dropping down and going, "Hello there." And so all I want, if you really want to get my attention, like I might get you a ring if you respond with "General Kenobi," like, because it has not happened yet and I would like that to happen.
Worst dates, I have one. So
all of them.
I have like one that stands out.
Okay,
this was the girl who, and I'm gonna start this with a story before I get to the date because it's very funny.
Okay, is this?
You'll get it from, I don't know what that means. He did like a whatever. So I met a girl on Tinder and we made plans to hang out, and she was having a house party and I didn't want to go alone, so I brought Zuko. During the night, Zuko kept making references that her gay best friend wanted to have sex with him. I was calling him dramatic. I'm like, not everyone wants to fuck you, guy or girl. Like, get over yourself. So after this girl and I had...
I remember this!
Yeah. So after I had dated the girl, and I'll tell the bad date after, but after we had broken up, Zuko and I went to a restaurant, and it just so happened that her gay best friend was our waiter. I didn't even recognize him at first, and then like he was really chill at the time. We were talking.
He was a great server. Yeah.
So the meal ends, he brings us our boxes and the check, and you know, him and I are just kind of talking, and Zuko's like very uncomfortable. He's like trying
I just got really quiet.
Well, no, you were trying to like end the conversation, get us to leave. You were like, I gotta go to work, this and that, and I was like talking to the kid because I haven't like seen him in like
a
year.
And Patrick can't take a fucking hint.
Yeah, so I'm just like, dude, like relax, like I'm talking. So finally we leave, and then I realized that Zuko left his box of leftovers at the restaurant. And I was like, dude, you literally made a big fucking scene about getting a box because you wanted your leftovers.
I didn't make a big scene. I asked for two bites.
And you were like, I need a box.
Well,
regardless,
I want to save my food. I paid for it. I'm hungry. That's the food I ordered. Well, then tell
the
story.
All I said was you made like a big fuss about the box.
I asked for a box.
Can I just get to the fucking point of the story?
I didn't make a fuss. You're making a
Zuko box. Made a scene of gigantic proportions.
Oh, my God.
And I just said, like, you left your box. Go get it. And he was like, no, I'm not going back. And I was like, just go get your fucking leftovers. And then Zuko's like, I told you he wanted to fuck me. And I was like, are you still on that shit? Like, he doesn't want to fuck you. And then Zuko, as we're walking, he looks at me. He goes, he put his fucking number in a winky face on my fucking leftovers. And so I was like, you know what? You were right that first night. He did want to fuck you.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's not a big deal, but it was just,
no,
like,
it was just,
I mean,
funny.
It was just kind of funny, like, looking back on it. And also, like, it kind of puts in perspective, which is, again, like, is another topic we could definitely touch on.
Yeah.
It's like, how creepy dudes are. Like, straight, gay, whatever. Like, we,
I know, I'm a creep. Like,
the
a lot
worst.
Of the time. Yeah, we're awful. I feel,
like,
bad for women.
Well, yeah, because it's like, I mean, I'm not going to name names, but, like, I have, like, friends, like, coworkers, maybe.
Dan.
Like, girls walk by and just be like, like, and it's like, dude, like, relax.
Yeah. So to get to the worst date, this girl, we dated for a couple months, and throughout the relationship, I started to realize that she was an alcoholic. I don't want to say that like she is or she's. I don't talk to her anymore. But every time we'd hang out, she'd, you know, order drinks. Whenever I'd sleep over, she would like bring multiple beers to bed. So
that's not a problem.
No, and I mean, like, it was funny because I guess her dad had a drinking problem, and she would always say that Like, oh, I can't stand my daddy drinks so much as she's cracking like her 10th beer. Anyways, so it gets to the point now where it's like, it's not really working out. I'm like kind of over it. So I want to be the mature person. I want to take her out to end things. So we went to Buffalo Wild Wings in Burlington. Mm. And, you know, I didn't like lead on that there's any problems. I was just like, oh, let's go out. Let's talk about a couple things, whatever. So we get there and I'm like, listen, you know, I think you're a great person, but it's just not working out. And she starts to drink to the point where she got like blackout drunk. I don't know if she's blackout drunk. That's like,
you don't know what she remembered. I don't know what but she drank a lot.
She drank a lot, made a big scene, and then got into her car.
Like I did when I asked for drugs.
And then got into her car and drove away. It was like to the point where like in the movies where everyone's kind of looking at your table because someone at your table is being very loud and obnoxious. And I just like kept looking around and seeing all of these eyes on me because like she was being very obnoxious and loud. And like it was funny. The last thing like she said, what I don't remember, it was like 3 years ago, but she like makes a comment, slams back like half of a cocktail, like slams on the table and like storms off. It was like very awful, awkward, and I drove home like in silence because I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Were you driving her home?
No.
She left.
She left. She stormed off. I don't know if she crashed her car or whatever, but I don't think she did. But so that would be my worst date, I would say.
That wasn't that bad.
I really haven't had a bad one. Like that was like the worst one I've had.
I wish like I thought more about this and prepared better. Like I'll definitely remember more later. But there was one that actually like a friend of mine, I'll say his name, it was Shakur. We had gone on like a double date in Boston, like this girl that
I know
the
story, yeah.
So actually, do you?
This is the one where they were or one of
in
the alley.
No, totally different story. Story. Let me tell my story.
Sorry.
Okay. So, anyways, my friend Shakur and I, like, so I met this girl. I don't know if it was Tinder or what. It was probably fucking Tinder. And really cute girl, like, seemed to be pretty chill, like, whatever. And she's like, oh, like, come meet us, like, in Boston. I think we were, like, near, like, the Northeastern campus. Like, we were maybe 21, 22 at the time. And I think the girls were, like, the same age. So we show up, right, on Northeastern's campus. I think it was, like, in the middle of the summer. So I think they're doing some internship or summer program or whatever. And we're, like, sitting there, like, on, like, a ledge, like, a little wall thing. And Shakur and I are sitting down. This girl's friend is sitting down. Like, the girl that was, like, I guess, like, Shakur's date. And the one that I came to see, she, like, got up. She's walking around, like, just being hyper-energetic and, like, goofy or whatever. Like, fine. Yeah. And then I'm, like, having a conversation with Shakur and the other girl. And my elbow gets cold. And I turn around, and this girl was licking my elbow. I still really haven't processed this. Like, needless to say, there wasn't, like, a second date. Like, she was cute or whatever. But, long story short, this girl licked my elbow, like, unprovoked, just randomly just disappears and then comes back licking my elbow. It was the weirdest, most bizarre, like, first impression of someone I ever got.
I'm sure we have more, but we didn't.
There's so many more, but that's, like, the first thing off the top of my head.
I'm trying to...
I mean, there's definitely, like...
I just can't read your shitty handwriting.
Let me see.
Best
way to get our attention, which we kind of covered that already a little bit. And, I mean, someone asked, like, what do you look for in, like, a date or, like, a woman or girlfriend, whatever.
I'm going to have to, like, go into, like, my notes because, like... I mean, I wrote them down in my notes and I can read them
all. What was dating like during quarantine? That's a...
Oh, you know what? No, this is the one I want to talk about. What do you fear most about commitment? Because, I think we both have... we have a line. Zuko started it years ago when we were like teenagers.
You're 18, yeah.
And the line was always like, part of me wants to be single, part of me wants to be in a relationship. And that's
I think that's like our whole generation right now.
Well, but I mean, it's for 10 years we've been saying this, or almost for 10 years. For me, I'm not like afraid of commitment. I'm more afraid of committing to the wrong person.
Well, that would be afraid of.
Commitment. Well, no, because like I'm
not the idea of it.
As Eric Murphy says, Sloan, I'll commit to you right now. But like so my problem, I would say, is that I've been burned so many times from girls that have cheated on me, have ghosted me, have been alcoholics. That like I'm like, and I haven't been like in like a real relationship in years, like I've had like, you know, friends with benefits and like, you know, girls that I've like hooked up with and like been friends with, just friends with benefits. But like there are girls that like I'll get interested in, but like then I kind of just like let it die out or I don't pursue it because like I'm afraid that, you know, if we start dating and it's like two, I don't want to waste another 6, 7, 8 months on a girl.
Or
that's
more.
Gonna,
I mean,
or
some
more,
people,
yeah.
Like I know people who've been in relationships for like 3, 4, 5, 8 years and they're like, yeah, I don't really know, but like I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you got to make a decision.
Well, yeah, literally I have a friend at work. He's been dating his girlfriend for 7 years and still won't propose.
Like, what's the point?
That's what I said.
Like I mean, you date, like seriously date, not like casual. Like if you're seriously dating, like you're dating like with the intent to like marry or like spend the rest of your life with someone like long term. It's not like, I mean, like, I don't know, like maybe in high school it was, or college, it was more like, you know, date to have fun or to like not be alone or like whatever. But like, what's the friggin' point? Like I got shit to do. I got businesses to run. I got a job. I got like, you know, now a puppy or whatever. But like, you know, it's like, I'm not going to give my time to someone if it's not going to be worth it.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that, and I don't think it's just us. I think it's everyone. Like everyone's afraid to commit.
Well, our whole, like, I think, I'm going to go off on a tangent right now, but like, and I won't elaborate too much, but I think like a big part of like dating in like 2021 or just like recently the past several years, like as we've become adults, dating our whole adulthood has been, people have such short attention spans. There are so many options with social media, even just cell phones, fucking email at your fingertips that like say our grandparents, even maybe our parents, if they're older, like didn't have.
Well,
like
did,
you had
did
to
you
like
see, I know I'm cutting you off, but did you see the, it was a study on, I saw it on Twitter. It was like from Forbes or something.
Okay.
Over the last 5 years, the average attention span for the average human is 7.5 seconds, which is less than a goldfish's attention span.
What? No, I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all. And I think it absolutely transcends into like the dating world where it's like anybody can go on Instagram, guy or girl, post a story or a post for attention and have like a dozen new people to talk to. Yeah. Might not be who you want, but you have options. Always. Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, Plenty of Fish, Coffee Meets, Bagel, fucking Black People Meet, Christian Mingle. Like there's a million fucking things. Like, out there, like at your fingertips. I know you're laughing at me. They're all names of real things. Like, there's so many options in so many different ways. Like, I actually, like, I won't tell the story. Never mind. But, like,
Probably a good choice.
It absolutely is a good choice. Dan.
That's going to be like,
Dan is going to be
that
like,
last the whole, like, series.
The entire,
of the
yeah.
Be like 8 years on the road.
Dan. But, like, I mean, there's just so many limitless options, and, like, everyone's been burned. Everyone's like, you know, you could have a great time with a date or like whatever, and cool, there's six others lined up.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that like that's like normal or okay, or that like I do it, like I've done it, sure, but like the attention span just isn't there, and I think that causes a lot of the insecurities and the fear of commitment. And I think a lot of us see our parents, like my parents got divorced when I was like 15. And like that, I mean, we can get into that later, but that was like a whole ordeal. And I know lots of people who, you know, like a lot of people got married young in generations previous, like prior to us. Yeah. And like people still get married young, like good for you. Like, I'm glad you're happy. But like a lot of people got married, had kids young, were stuck with that person and those kids. Not stuck, but like, it, you know, it's tough to get out of that situation if you want out.
Well, it's also different. Like if you look at how just life was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, these people were getting married, having families, working their whole lives. The wives stayed home, retired.
Right,
and that
different.
Was like the American dream almost. And now it's like you see more millennials are living at home in their late 20s, early 30s. They're not buying houses as early because of a lot about the economy and not making a lot of money in debt. So I think just the way that the world has changed over the last 40 years.
There's so many factors. And social media too. Like, I mean.
And I think also, and I don't remember if you touched on this, but I think just the if you look at accounts like Barstool and other accounts like that on Instagram that like kind of promote the hookup culture, and it's like everywhere you look on someone's story, or they're at a party and they're talking about like getting with a girl or this girl that like did the walk of shame, or like the TikToks like, where it's like their friends coming out like, I just had sex, is playing in the background.
Or like you know, like the, well actually fun side note, like when I lost my virginity, I called Patrick and blasted, I just had sex. But anyways, what I was gonna say was, like, you see, like, and it's, like, the hookup culture, like, I want to touch on that. It's, like, people are so hypocritical and full of shit, myself included.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'll say that, like, you know, I'm done, like, having casual sex, or, like, I want, you know, I don't want to waste my time or whatever. But then when a hot girl's, like, come over, I'm not, probably not saying no if unless I have something going on, because, like, I mean, why wouldn't you in the moment? Like, But also, like, and like I see this a lot with like a lot of guys and a lot of girls like our age, and it's like they kind of bitch and moan about the culture, but they participate in it.
Yeah, just like no, I absolutely. Just said.
And like, and you see like the whether it's Future, who I'm a big Future fan. I'm not advocating for his messages. I do like the music. But anyways, and you know you have like the Cardi B's, the Megan Thee Stallions, like Amber Rose, like the slut walk. Yeah. Like, and there's nothing wrong with owning your body and being confident in your decisions. But I think that we, you know, simultaneously, like, we want the companionship, but also want to do what we want to do at times. And, like, it causes so much insecurity. There's so many options for you. And, like, no one really knows what the fuck they want because of all the other factors going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and I'll tell you a quick story, then we'll shift gears. There was a girl that I wouldn't even say we were seeing each other. We were friends with benefits.
You were pipe pals.
Pipe pals. Throughout the summer and into the winter. And from the first time, I had known her for years, and the first time that we hung out, I was like, I could never hang out with this girl again. Like, she's just not intelligent. The conversation was so dull and dry.
You didn't have depth. Like, it's not that she was necessarily dumb. Well, I mean, don't say that.
I'm not saying she's dumb. I said she wasn't intelligent.
What the fuck is the difference, Patrick?
I mean, like, if you're sitting there and saying that you don't know, like, you're questioning why there's a presidential election because you thought that when you're elected president, you just are president until you don't want to be president anymore.
No, I'm saying like, that is
dumb. What
would
you call that?
I know, but I'm just saying, like, let's not throw labels around. Like, there's an intellectual gap and you need that, like, you need like an intellectual requirement to have a deep conversation with someone.
Yes.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, she's fucking dumb. But like, but you know what I mean? Like, I think, yeah.
So we hung out a couple times and every time I was like, I'm never going to see her again. And we weren't like hooking up at this time because like she didn't want to do that. And she was like, I'm not like doing hookups. So I was like, fine, whatever. We were friends. And then one day she texted me and asked me to come over. Her parents weren't home. So I went over and we hooked up. And that went on for like 4 or 5. And I told her up front, I was like, listen, like, I don't think I want a relationship. But if you find somebody, like, be my guest, like, I won't be mad. I won't hold it against you. And, you know, we hung out a bunch of times and literally on a Saturday night, I went over, we hooked up, we hung out, and then the next day she blocked me. And I was like, what the fuck? And she had a new boyfriend. And it's like, I literally even told you, like, if you meet someone that piques your interest or you find someone that you're kind of interested in knowing more, I'm all for it. Like, you just let me know. And then, like, throughout that entire time, she met a guy, was dating him, and then, like, when they were ready to, like, put a label on it, she blocked me. And I was like, even when I gave you the okay to do it, you still have to like make it like creepy and
fishy,
like, and
like
go behind
my back.
She
doesn't need your permission to do shit.
No,
but
I'm not
like,
I'm saying I like was told, I wasn't like telling her like if we're hooking up, it's like exclusive and like this and that. Like, I was like telling her, like, if you meet someone, like, I'm all for it. Like, just let me know so that like I know. And like, it's also like, you don't want to be hooking up with someone that like is actively hooking up with somebody else,
right?
Like, in terms of like health precautions and STDs and stuff like that. So like, I was trying my best to be like the, you know, do you, I'm not going to get mad, I'm not going to get jealous, like, whatever. And like, she still felt the need to like go behind my back and like block. And I just felt like, you know, even at when someone's that open with you, you still feel the need to do that. It's kind of like, I don't know.
I mean, like, I
understand. It rubbed me the wrong way.
I understand. Like, I think, like, I mean, she didn't owe you shit. You guys weren't anything.
But that's not
but
what
like,
I'm not saying she owed it to me. I'm just saying that, like,
well, the way you're phrasing it, though, you're saying like she went behind my back or she did this.
Well, I
like,
was
she
just
do whatever the fuck she
well,
wants.
I was just surprised because like most guys or most girls that like are in a, you know, friends with benefits situation, they're like hooking up with them, and like the other person might get jealous or might get mad. It's like, and I was like from the beginning was very like, you do you. I'm not gonna get mad. I'm not gonna just like let me know.
Yeah, I mean,
I was like, just let me know so that I am aware of like what's going on, and then she blocked me. And it was like, I know why you blocked me, obviously.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, a warning would have been nice. I mean, like, I don't think she, I understand your perspective, and I agree with you. I'm more playing devil's advocate, I guess.
Yeah.
But, and also, like, you know, I would love to get, like, her perspective or a woman's perspective on this. It's like,
yeah,
you know, because it's about her, it's not about you. So, like, if she is in a new relationship, she doesn't want to jeopardize that. She wants you as far away from there as possible if you're someone that used to Piper. So, like, you know, I get that. Like, does she, maybe she doesn't owe you anything, but it would have been nice. Say, hey, I'm in a relationship. Like, please don't hit me up anymore out of respect
I guess
for my relationship.
The way, the reason why it rubbed
but
me the
it
wrong
was,
way
like,
was
sudden. Like, she hooks up with you one night, blocks
you. Well,
the night,
yeah. That was like, okay, so if it was, like, one of those things where, like, I would text her once in a blue moon, like, WYD, and like come get pipe. Yeah. Like whatever. I get. Yeah. But like we were actively like doing like errands together, like doing friendly things. And like if I'm inside of you at 9 p.m. on Saturday night and you block me at 6 a.m. Sunday morning.
This is a reverse 69.
Yeah. Like, from 9 to 6. Like, you could have literally told me at any point, like, this is the last time, or like, listen, I met somebody, and I would have been like, totally get it, no problems, like, no bad blood, like, go do you, like, it's all good. And I was saying, like, they rubbed me the wrong way that, like, you know, we hooked up, we were still, like, on good terms, and then you just blocked me out of left field. It's like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, I like, I personally, like, I don't block people. Like,
I don't either.
I mean, maybe I'll unfollow you if, like, there's, like, a, you know, if you go through a breakup, you don't want to see someone's stuff, cool, but, like, I feel like for me personally, blocking is like such an extra effort. Like I don't care that much 99% of the time. But I do understand like where she may have been coming from, where it's like, okay, maybe she like sort of started to develop feelings for you, but knew that you couldn't or wouldn't commit to her or whatever. And she had to remove you. And maybe she didn't want to have that conversation saying like, explaining herself, because there would have been some back and forth. It might not have been just like, I have a boyfriend out of nowhere, and you're like, okay. There could have been, I'm not saying, I don't know how you would have responded, but there probably would have been some dialogue that she didn't want to have.
I mean, I can see that. I think that the difference between most like of those situations where like you get like a dialogue is that I made my intentions clear from the beginning that like if she met someone, like I wouldn't get in the way. And like even as recently as like a couple weeks before it happened, we were like in bed talking about like relationships. And I was like, listen, like I really like not at a place in my life where I want a relationship. Yeah. And it's not like an indication on you. I mean, it was. But
yeah, I mean, like, I think if it was the right person, like yeah, no, it's happened to me before.
But I was saying like, to her, like, listen, like it's not you, it's me. Like I, like if you ever, and we had multiple times, like if you want to stop hooking up, if it makes it complicated, like let me know. Like I'm cool with. I'm not gonna like. I'm not one of those guys.
Famous
gonna, like,
last words.
Well, no, like I've never been the guy in a relationship that's like, you better fucking do this and that, or I'm gonna fucking kill you. It's like
right,
I'm always
Dan.
Like, well, literally, but the guys do that. Like that's why girls are afraid to like. Go to guys' houses and like not like share the location because guys will fucking kill a girl if they don't give them their number. It's like
I
it's wild.
I still share my location with you when I go somewhere new. Well, yeah, like but, I mean, I think it's a necessary precaution.
So I'm saying like I never like have been that. I've never like. Or I would like, you know, if any of my exes or girls that I've hooked up with are listening.
Oh, I would love.
I don't
should,
think
we
I've ever-
should. Side note: we should have some sort of like a bet or competition poll, something where either we or the audience decides like which one of us has to have an ex on the podcast, and the other person gets to interview them and ask them pretty much anything.
I was gonna say I'm pretty sure with every girl that I've besides
we're friendly with most of
them.
Well,
I was gonna say besides the one that I was talking about, like the alcohol problem.
Yeah, but that's not
I'm on
significant
good terms
enough.
With all my exes. Like they're like, literally, I'm not gonna say her name, but the one that snapped both of us yesterday.
Yep.
Like
yep.
that. We that ended 6-7 years ago.
Wow.
And
we're
still
old.
Yeah, and we're still like communicating. We'll like check in here and
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, I think
I if anyone has a problem, like it's not on my end. Like I don't have. I mean, even like my first real love cheated on me, and like we're still friendly.
Yeah,
so, like,
I mean, like,
I'm not like I don't.
It comes with time. I think like a lot of
interview
like,
any of them.
What?
I said interview any of them. I don't give a fuck.
I know. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that you give a fuck. I just think it'd be an interesting thing, and it feels.
I'd
like,
love to interview a couple of your exes.
Which is why I think we should. Like, yeah.
I think the last one we should touch on because in. What I was just talking about kind of incorporates it, dating over quarantine.
Okay.
Which I think, and before I, because you had like kind of like, we'll call it as
I had
Jada Pinkett and August Alsina in Entanglement.
I was entangled.
Through
it was
the
like
entire
a situation.
Duration.
Yeah.
But I think everyone was in the same boat in
a
the
lot
beginning.
Of people were.
Where in the very beginning, they didn't want to go out or hook up with people because like no one really knew what was going on with Corona.
Right.
And everyone was like, we're going to like, get a bunch of food and booze and just like locked down for 2 weeks. Yeah. And like, no one knew it was going to last like 10 months. So
well, it's like a year now.
Yeah.
This week, next week, this month at least,
this upcoming
be a
week
year.
Will be a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So like that girl that I met, I knew her. So like I was comfortable going out with her. But right. like that was like 5 or 6 months into the pandemic where it's like people were getting stir crazy. They were sick of being at home all the time. Your situation was like within the first 2 weeks and you had just gotten over a breakup. So, like, you kind of had a thing going on from the beginning of quarantine to, like, the last couple months. I mean,
yeah,
it's not,
I mean,
yeah. So, touch on that.
I mean, like,
yourself.
I don't want to, like, go in too in-depth because, like, we're still friends and, like.
Well, no, you don't say a negative thing. No. I'm saying, like, kind of, like, explain the process
from
the beginning.
I mean, so, yeah, I mean, like, I was going through, like, a breakup where, like.
With Dan.
With
That's just be the name of any person.
Is any,
Dan.
Dan is just like, instead of Jane and John Doe, it's just Dan. So Dan. So really, really shitty breakup. Like, anyways, so, like, Dan moves out kind of out of
nowhere.
Well,
it's not actually Dan, because, like, they're going to get confused.
Well, they're
like,
going to think that, like, we're actually gay. Yeah. Like,
who's really Dan?
Yeah. So anyways, like, so my ex, she had Dan.
Danny. Danielle.
Danielle. I was just going to say the same thing. So Danielle had moved out.
And then Daniela moved in.
Yeah. So anyway, so she moves out, like, mid-March, like, literally, like, as the lockdown was happening, the breakup had, like, started. So, like, obviously, that sucked, like, going through that in general, but also during a pandemic where there were so many question marks, you couldn't leave the house. Like, I had to cancel a trip to Greece, which part of that was because of the breakup, part of it was because of COVID. But, yeah, so then, you know, like, I'm, like, just sitting in my house, like, alone. Like, because at this point, Patrick and Dan had moved out. Like, my first floor tenant and I, like, we would hang out sometimes because we were cool.
I mean, I would come over, like, but, like, even in the beginning, it
but
wasn't,
in
like,
in the
yeah,
beginning,
yeah.
Like, I was, like, I mean, now it's, like, I'll probably offend some people with this, but cough in my mouth, I don't care. Like, I was really paranoid in the beginning.
Yeah. I never, like, was, like, I think I had
not
it.
Not paranoid, but, like, I was trying to, like, take the proper precautions.
Yeah, I think that I was, like, one of the first cases in America, honestly, like, November of 2019, I went to Foxwoods, and then the week of Thanksgiving, I got really sick. I had a fever, cough. It was like,
it went around
all the symptoms.
Your
yeah.
work, my work. Yeah. A lot of people had
and
it before it was
so,
like a known
yeah,
thing.
I was afraid of it, but like, I, in the back of my head, I was like, if I did have it, I know what to expect. My only fear was I was living with my mom, who's in her late 50s. She smokes. So I was concerned for her safety, obviously, because, you know, you don't want to be the person that gets a family member sick and like has complications. So like, even in the beginning, I mean, Zuko and I talk every day. We see each other every week. I wasn't even going to your house. And I think a lot of people weren't like seeing their friends or their family. It was very distant. And then, you know, as the weeks went on, we kind of like got more comfortable with each other and we, you know, whatever. But so then that's when.
Well, yeah. I mean, like we got to the point where we like eventually like I would have Taco Tuesday at my house. Yeah. I'd make everybody tacos, margaritas. We had like myself, our friend Kim, who's one of our best friends. Yeah. She would be a hilarious guest on this podcast, yeah. I think. But anyway, and then, you know, Daniela, who moved in, not Daniela who moved out, Daniela who, like, she didn't move in, but, like, yeah. You know, who I was talking to, but, like, it kind of started out, like, myself and, you know, this girl that I started talking to after the breakup, like, just kind of, like, to kind of get over that, but also, like, occupy my time during boredom quarantine. Like, I wasn't going to work. I wasn't, like, leaving the house much, like, outside of errands. Patrick really wants to interrupt right now.
Well, I was gonna say, I just remember, I don't know if it was the first time I met her or afterwards. I remember talking to you and saying, like, you need to tread carefully here because you just got to have a relationship. You don't want to jump into a new one because, like, you're kind of, like, putting off the full heartbreak of your breakup and you might get a double whammied with this new girl and the old girl. So just, like, you know, tread lightly.
So anyways, no more further interruptions, please.
11.
What, for the douche jar or the interruptions?
Both. I think they're kind of, like, hand in hand.
I mean, like, just let me tell the fucking story. Okay. Like, that's not necessary. Because yeah. I don't even know where I was saying.
You said that you were doing Taco Tuesdays.
Yeah, so anyway, so, like, when she and I first started talking, like, we were both, like, not, like, depressy, but, like, there's nothing to do. Like, so, and I'm sure everyone was, like, other people, too. Like, I know a ton of people who got into, like, COVID relationships or, like, situations or entanglements, whatever you want to call them. And my ex did. Yeah, so, you know, we started, like, FaceTiming or whatever, and then once we were both comfortable, like, we went on a hike. We went up, because it was, like, pretty nice out. We went up and hiked Mount Major and, like, whatever, and then we started hanging out, like, pretty regularly after that, because, like, we were like, okay, well, like, obviously, like, we get along, we're attracted to each other, whatever, but there was nothing else to do, and we wanted to minimize our exposure to other people. So it's like, if I have one girl who I'm hanging out with and seeing, talking to, whatever, and then like my like family and, you know, one or two friends, and even that I limited, like we really yeah. tried to like, I guess the whole COVID thing is like, you know, I think a lot of people would agree that they wanted to limit their exposure, at least in the beginning. Now, like, I see a lot of people just kind of doing whatever they want. But I mean, yeah, like it definitely, like, I feel like I don't even want to say like it only happened because of COVID. Like, that's not like fair to say, but I think a lot of dating during quarantine or dating during a pandemic, it kind of like forces you to like limit the amount of options that you may have. Like we touched on having too many options earlier, and this kind of, I saw more relationships coming out of COVID than I normally would in a summer because people were stuck inside. They had to be like, okay, well, I don't want to be alone. I want to do something or someone, whatever it is. And, yeah, I mean, like, I know some people, like I was talking to this guy, the other day at the dog park of all places. And he was telling me, he's like in his early 30s as a teacher. And he was telling me, yeah, like I went on my first date, throughout all of COVID the other day. And that's a year later. Like, so everyone kind of handles it differently. So I think, you know, some people were more cautious. Obviously, he waited like almost a full year. I don't even know if I waited a week, to be honest. But I mean, I definitely was like different. Like, there's fewer options. And it was like, you know, like my inner like ho was like, great. They don't have any excuse not to come over because there's nowhere else to go. but then it's also like, you know, if you want to go out on like fun dates or try something new or whatever, and like, you know, there's limited options. And also like for those who don't feel comfortable having someone over, going over somewhere, it's like, well, maybe they're even more hesitant than normal.
I actually saw a funny TikTok like last year and like the really early part of quarantine, and it was a guy and like he's making like a really funny face, and it's like me knowing that I am gunning myself into 12 different relationships once quarantine ends, because like you just start talking to everyone and like you're bored. And like I know for myself, I was working from home, but like I work at a school and there wasn't really much in the, like now it's different. Like the kids will be coming back soon, but like when it first happened, no one knew like what was going to happen. So like I wasn't really taking it seriously. I was like drinking every night and like experimenting with like different like wines and liquors. And so I would like get really drunk and just start talking to like all these different girls and like saying all these different things. And it's like, you know, it's not going to happen. I think a lot of people like would kind of play along because it's like, you're not coming over, I'm not coming over. Let's just like, you know, kind of text for a couple weeks or FaceTime, have fun. And then, you know, once summer happens, we'll all be open. And that didn't happen, obviously.
It didn't, no.
As we're still in it.
Yeah, in it.
In it. I think that's pretty much. I mean,
yeah. I mean, like
we had more questions, but it's like we're
already
we can't
like
spend 4 hours like going into every single question.
Yeah,
we
I mean, I think it's a good place to wrap up. I think it was a solid like first little introductory.
Yeah, and if there's
episode.
Any like other questions that we missed, like or some better
ones.
Yeah,
I mean, we'll touch on more later. And like if there's anything you want us to elaborate on, I know that we definitely elaborated a lot on a few things. Like I do think like in the future we could expand on some of those topics, like the more serious ones.
Oh, yeah, we have to. I mean like,
but no, I feel, this was fun.
It'll be more like when we talked about Dan and that went on for like 40 minutes. Like it'll be more of that than
Dan
just
centric
like 5 or 10 minutes, like questions. It'll be more like longer stories.
Right. Like, I mean, I think
upon.
Like real estate, like we briefly went over, and that was like an important question. We can go over that another time.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is like, that's kind of the whole point of this podcast. And it's funny when people will ask me like, what is your podcast about? And it sounds dumb to say out loud, but it's basically just two best friends living through their 20s and sharing our experiences with some funny, like little,
yeah,
side
I mean,
notes
I think
along
like
the way.
Yeah. Like we've both learned a lot of things both through failure and through maybe mentors or like teaching ourselves stuff. And like, I do think that like a lot of people could benefit like from things that we fucked up and like kind of showing the right way of doing things and just kind of like, I don't know, we have so many anecdotes relating to everything. But I definitely like, you know, subscribe, download the podcast, leave us a 5-star review,
rates and reviews on iTunes. You'll be able to listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you want to listen on Anchor, which is the site that we host on, all those places you can find us. Also follow us on all the socials. The main one at Finarach Podcast. You'll be able to find our socials on Instagram.
Yep, like Andrew _ Zuko.
Patrick
and
_ Shankor. Very simple.
And definitely like DM us. Like we'll answer like, and we'll like write down. We have all these questions that we had today and more. Like the topics, they're from you guys. You
and
know?
They're all anonymous. We don't want you to feel uncomfortable.
Like,
as we've demonstrated with Dan. Right. We'll try our best to give you a nickname that is not related because his name isn't anything.
It's not Dan.
It's but actually, it's funny. I got a couple DMs. Like I posted a story just of the mics and saying like the debut episode, and people were DMing me like saying different things. And I don't want to like, we already had so many questions, but definitely DM us. We'll keep it anonymous.
Yeah,
nothing's off topics, whether it's relationships, dating, questions about, you know, career stuff, real estate stuff. I mean,
we want your feedback. We want to hear what you guys want to hear.
And if you're our friend and have been friends with us for a while, and there's been times we've gotten into fights and had arguments.
We need a referee because we got a little heated a couple times. I think I kept the lid on it. So did you.
I think that I don't know if we'll do it next episode, but I definitely want to talk about the 6 month.
Oh
hiatus.
My God.
This is two of us who have.
We were getting a little lengthy.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. But so follow us on the socials. Leave us a rating and a review. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor.fm. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.